Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. A Fox Found a Box by Ged Adamson. Now, this book has a real cute cover on it. It's mostly snow that's shown in the picture. In the background, there are some pine trees, but they aren't drawn with green and brown like we usually think of pine trees. These are blue and gray, and they're just little stick-looking trees. But up closer to us in the picture, there are some animals. There's a red fox, and there are two little blue birds. There are two brown bunnies and a yellow owl. And up on some rocks behind these animals, there is a squirrel and a moose looking into this cave where they all are trying to stay warm. There's snow falling in the sky. What they are all gathered around and looking at is a white box. It has a handle on top of it, and it has an antenna and some dials. Do you think you know what it might be? A fox was searching. Somewhere under the snow there was food, and to find it, he had to dive in again and again. On the first two pages of the story, we see the fox jumping up into the air, diving into the snow like you would into a swimming pool, and then jumping out again. And as he goes in the second time, he hits something and he says, "Ouch!" He looks at what he hit. This didn't look like food. With his mouth, he pulls the white box out. But what was it? Now we see the white box really closely. It has an outline in blue, but all of the things like the dials and the handle and the antenna are drawn with black. What was it? Nobody seemed to know. "I think it's a box," said Owl. "There was a stick on top that moved. That's the antenna. There were round things on it that looked interesting. That's the dials. What if I just..." And the fox reaches over with his paw and clicks one of the dials. The other animals are all watching him. "The box is singing," chirped the birds. Now, in this picture, the box is kind of bouncing around, and all the animals and birds have their eyes wide open. They can't believe that they're hearing this coming out of there. And around the box, there are pictures of instruments: a clarinet, a harp, a piano, a violin, a tuba, which has the real deep brass sounds, and they're all listening. The animals began to swish their tails, flap their wings, and move their feet. It felt nice. The picture shows them all dancing. And we can tell they're dancing because around them, there are little lines drawn to show that they're moving. Every day they would listen to the box. In this picture, some of them are lying down with their eyes closed, but they're listening to the music that's coming out. One rabbit has his eyes open. He's watching a frog that's sitting by the box with his eyes closed. Sometimes the music made them feel dreamy. Sometimes it made them feel sort of sad. This picture shows a mouse and a bird and a great big bear, and the notes are coming out of the box, and their eyes are real sad looking in this picture. The picture's mostly done with gray, too, which is sort of a sad color. Sometimes it made them want to rock out. Now they're all jumping around in the picture, and all the musical instruments that are drawn in every color imaginable are repeated over and over, from real small ones to big ones. So there's a real tiny pink guitar, and then it goes up through orange and yellow and green and blue and gets up to a big purple one. And the same way with other instruments. Now in this picture, besides the animals we've already seen, there's a little hedgehog that's come along, or a porcupine. And every night, the box's music filled the forest. This picture's done with real dark gray, and the moon is shining up over the mountains and the pine trees, but we don't see any of the animals in this picture. There is music in the form of notes and also the musical staff that we see when you go somewhere and look at printed music to sing with other people or to play the piano. Until one morning, the box stopped singing. The animals poked it. Here are the bunnies. They're poking down at the bottom of it, and one of the little birds is trying to lift the stick on top, which is the antenna. Fox tried burying it and digging it up again. He thought that maybe the box was too cold. Fox tried warming it up, and in this picture, he's kind of hugging the box. But nothing would make the box sing again. Now there are even more animals that have come to listen, besides the frogs and the birds and the fox and the moose and the bear and the rabbits and the owl. There's now a couple of beavers. Then something happened. Fox heard a sound. It went drip, drop, drip, drop. Fox is in this picture, looking all around. His eyes are moving in different directions, and we see drops coming down the page and ending in a little puddle. His ears twitched. His tail swished. One paw tapped, then the other. Fox's whole body moved to the drip, drop beat. Now the other animals heard the forest, too. The whoosh, whoosh of the wind. The chitter-chatter of geese. The crunch, crunch of snow underfoot. That's made by a bear. And the gurgle, gurgle of the river. This picture shows a little fawn beside the river, and there are fish in there swimming, and the fawn is listening to the way the river makes a sound. They started to notice everything. The smell of the pine trees, the falling snow, the beautiful view. In this picture, all of the animals are lined up at the top of a hill. And in the distance, there are real tall mountains, and the sun is setting behind them. The sun has streaks that go up into the sky, just like we have when we look at the sky at the end of the day, and the sun is setting. And the sun is low in the sky, and it's making long shadows of where the animals are. They're all looking out, thinking how beautiful it looks. And every night, the animals would nestle down and close their eyes and let the forest sing them to sleep. It felt nice. Now they're all in the cave. Now the owl in this picture has his eyes open, because owls like to be awake at night. But the other animals all have their eyes closed. And in the corner of the picture, we see the box. But nothing is coming out of it, because they're just sound asleep after listening to the sounds around them. Did you figure out what the box was? The end. Papa's Mark by Gwendolyn Battle Levert, illustrated by Colin Bootman. On the first page of the book, when we open it, there's a wooden fence. And on one side of the fence, there's a brown cow with white spots on their back and sides, and a big white spot that goes down the middle of their face. And around the cow, there's a sign that's been tied with some rope or string, and it says, "Vote, vote, all men of color, vote." When we open up the book, inside, there's a picture as if we were up in the air looking down over a town. The sky in this picture is yellow, not blue, and the distance is green, where we can see off to other little towns in the distance. But the town that is closest to us has muddy streets. It has a few trees and some green growing on the ground. The buildings aren't very nice. They're kind of old and dilapidated looking. There's a church in the middle of the town, and then there's some houses all around it. Daylight crept over Lamar County. Sims and his papa were going to town, The wagon went bumpity-bump along the road. They passed large fields with grazing animals and small wooden houses that were still dark. As they rode, the fields became smaller and the houses closer together. Finally, they reached clusters of buildings decorated with voting posters and waving flags. This was election time.
"Look!" yelled Sims. "Vote! Vote!"
"Simmer down," said Papa. "You'd wake a sleeping dog."
Sims laughed. With each bump, he bounced happily up and down in the wagon. The men in their community met once a week to talk about the election. They met in the church and at Sims' house. Sims always stood by his papa's side. Papa pulled up next to the general store.
"Jump down," said Papa. "No time to waste."
Smells of apples, oranges, onions, potatoes, and peppermint candy met Sims at the door. Now we see the wagon pulling up outside this store, and it's drawn by a horse. Papa has on a wide-brimmed black hat and a jacket that has print on it, and Sims has on a black and white checked shirt. And there are several flags flying around these buildings and lots of signs that say, "Vote."
"Samuel T. Blow," said Mr. Jones, the storekeeper. "You're here mighty early."
"Morning," said Papa. "Our weekly shopping trip. Sims got the list."
In a clear voice, Sims read. Mr. Jones filled the box with supplies. Papa stood by, looking on.
"Well, now," said Mr. Jones, "election day in a few weeks. You colored folks must be mighty proud."
"History in the making right here in Lamar County," said Papa.
Everybody stopped. Papa was a man of few words, but when he spoke, it was important.
"My papa couldn't vote, bless his soul, but he knew if not in his time, in my time."
Sims looked up and smiled. "That's everything on the list."
"Not yet," said Papa. "Do you want a piece of candy?"
"And take a voting poster, too," said Mr. Jones.
"Yes," said Sims. Now, this is an old-timey shop, not like grocery stores we go to now. The picture shows a counter with a scale where they would weigh out how much fruit and potatoes would weigh. And behind Mr. Jones, who owns the shop, are bunches of shelves, and they have coffee pots and coffee grinders on them and empty bottles, and they have big pitchers and containers that you would cook food in. In front of the counter is Sims with his papa standing right next to him, and Papa has his hand on Sims' shoulder.
"Thank you, Mr. Jones. Thank you kindly," said Papa. He picked up the box. Sims trailed behind him. "Samuel T.," called Mr. Jones. "Put your mark here."
Papa turned around. Every Saturday, Sims watched Papa put an X on the pad. Sims' gaze fell to the floor.
"Come on, Sims,"
said Papa, moving toward the door. They rode home in silence. After the wagon stopped, Sim said, "Papa, let me show you how to write your name. Then you'll never have to make that X mark again."
"Sims, you got work of your own," said Papa. "Now help me carry these groceries inside."
They're still sitting in the wagon while this conversation goes on. That night, the men huddled around the kitchen table. Sims looked into scared faces. He listened.
"There's trouble brewing," one man said in a low voice. "Some folks don't want us colored folks voting."
"Freedom don't come easy," said Papa. "My papa taught me that."
"You go on or die," said another.
Sims stood up and waved the voting poster.
"I'm helping," said Sims. "Every house going to get one of these."
The men laughed. The meeting went on. Sims went to his room to make posters. In the kitchen, there's a very plain table. There are mugs on it, and there's a woman in a long white skirt and long-sleeved white blouse and a white hanky or scarf tied over her hair. She's pouring coffee into the mugs. The three men are sitting around, and they look very serious. They are all African-American people,
including Sims, who's walking off with the poster that he got at the store, and now he's going to copy it. Soon Papa called.
Morning comes early, get in bed.
All right,
said Sims, blowing out the light. Twisting around, the sheets and blankets went all witch-away, the golden glow flowing from the kitchen, the short and tall shadows moving, and the mumbling voices kept Sims awake. Tiptoeing up to the door, Sims saw Papa hunched over some paper. And now we can see the boy, Sims, who's in his nightshirt, peeking through this wooden door. The house is built like a cabin inside, so the walls don't have paint on them. They're just wood slats. And he's looking through the door towards the kitchen where his father is sitting with a pencil in one hand, looking down at a piece of paper. Behind him is Sims' mama in the white dress that I told you about. And she's got her hands on the dad's shoulders and she's looking down at him.
It'll get better, Samuel, said Mama.
This writing looks like chicken scratch, said Papa.
Mama laughed softly.
Well, mine looks like red-hot chili peppers. The letters jump all over the paper.
When I vote, said Papa, I'm going to write my name to get my ballot.
What you doing? Said Sims, jumping into the light.
Papa looked up. Sims ran back to his room and leaped into bed.
Papa, my eyes just keep popping open, called Sims.
Papa walked in. He pulled the homemade quilt around Sims. Sleep came. Before school, Sims wrote Papa's name perfectly. He left the paper on the kitchen table. That night, Sims peeked around the door as Papa worked. He saw Papa trying to copy his clear, neat lines. But in the morning, Sims saw chicken scratch. A few days later, Sims found Papa at the table.
Sims, come over here, said Papa. I just can't seem to write the letters like you do. Can you help?
Sims guided his Papa's hand across the paper. Papa watched every curve.
I can read my name, said Papa. Now I'm going to write it with your help.
Every night, Papa hunched over the table, slowly tracing the curves of his name. Every morning, Sims checked Papa's paper. Soon election day was just around the corner. After school, voting posters were hammered on every house and tree. Even the animals had posters around their necks. The picture here is crossing two pages, and now we see that cow we noticed at the very beginning, plus some other cattle, and all of them have these signs tied around their necks. There are signs hanging over the fences, too. In the background, we see some farm buildings and some very tall trees with lots of green leaves on them. The night before the election, the church was full of men.
Who's going to go with me to vote? Asked Papa.
The men mumbled and groaned. No one agreed to come.
A tall man said, We all got families. Who's going to take care of them if we gone?
It's just one day, said Papa. They'll be fine.
Some folks mighty angry,
another man said. We scared what they might do.
Everyone muttered in agreement.
Papa said, We go in peace. We go in unity.
The room was silent.
Sim said, Papa, I'll go with you.
The men left. The meeting ended. Now, there are a whole bunch of men sitting on the benches or the pews inside the church. And because this is a poor neighborhood, and this happened a long time ago, the heating for this room is a potbelly stove, which is a black iron kind of barrel, and it has slats in it so that you could put wood inside and light it, and the heat would come out of the slats to warm up the room. The men are all sitting, and they're looking at Papa. But they all look like they don't want to go. The morning came. Papa and Sims were quiet as they got ready to go to town alone. Then Sims heard voices outside.
Samuel T! Samuel T!
Papa opened the door. There sat a wagon full of men.
Come on, they said. We go in unity. Sims shamed us.
The wagon took off up the road. thumpity-thump, bumpity-bump. Hours later, they made it to town. The wind howled like a blare of bugles. The flags flapped like snare drums. Folks crowded the street. Sims didn't recognize their hard faces. Papa got out of the wagon first. Out of the crowd came Mr. Jones, the storekeeper.
"Samuel T.," he said, "I'm voting with you."
The two men walked together across the town square to the courthouse. This picture goes across two pages also. On one page, we see Mr. Jones, who's a white man. He's wearing a white shirt and a bow tie and brown pants that are held up with suspenders. He has a mustache and dark brown hair. And behind him, there's some other men that are also white men, but there are also some African-American men behind him. On the other page, we see Sim's father. And he's wearing sort of a beige shirt. He doesn't have a tie on. His pants are also held up with suspenders. And behind him, there are more African-American men. And way behind them, there are a few more white men.
"I'm Samuel T. Blow," said Papa. "I've come to vote."
"Make your mark," said the clerk.
Sim said, "My papa can sign his name." Papa wrote his name. The clerk handed him a ballot. Papa made a choice, and then he said, "Sims, come over here. Let's put the ballot in the box together." Sims grinned. Papa voted. Lamar County changed. And the last picture in this book is Sims and Papa standing together at the ballot box, which is a wooden box with a slot in the top of it. And they are putting a piece of paper down through the slot, which is the vote that Papa got to make. The end. I Am Peace, a book of mindfulness by Susan Birdie, art by Peter H. Reynolds. There's a picture on the front of the book of a little person, probably a child, barefooted, wearing purple pants and a yellow long-sleeved t-shirt that has red sleeves. Around their neck is a necklace that has the peace sign on it. On their head is a striped cap that has designs, including a peace sign on it, and their eyes are closed. Their arms are outstretched, and on the hand of each arm, there is a dove holding an olive branch, which is a symbol for peace. There are times when I worry about what might happen next and what happened before. The thoughts in my head are like rushing water, and I feel like a boat with no anchor. Now the picture shows that cap that the person is wearing, and it's beginning to ravel. It's coming apart, and it's making a wave shape. And we can see the person in a little boat sitting at the top of that wave. It's as if they're imagining that that's what's happening to them. Being carried away, and now the wave kind of tosses the boat off, and the little boat falls, and the little person falls, splash, in the water. I give myself a moment. I take a breath. And then I tell myself, it's all right. I feel the ground beneath my feet and steady myself. And now we see the person coming up out of the water where they've just gone kerplunk and standing on a pile of dirt that's surrounded by the water. But they're balancing themselves like you do if you're trying to walk across a narrow log or something. And start to notice the here and the now. My thoughts begin to settle. My mind begins to clear. I am peace. Now the little person is standing with their arms stretched out, and the little doves are beginning to float down and rest on their hands, and the person closes their eyes. I can watch my worries gently pop and disappear. I let things go. I can say what I feel inside out loud. I know myself. All around the little person, with the bird still sitting on his hands and also the hat, there are bubbles that are popping their pale pink and pale blue bubbles. I can share kindness with others. I make a difference. Here the person has a bag full of seeds and they're holding it out so that the birds can have a snack out of the bag. I can hug a tree and thank it for its beauty and strength. I connect to nature. Now we see the person coming over to a tree, and this tree trunk is an interesting one because it's not just brown and green. It's orange and yellow and red, the trunk is. I can watch the clouds make shapes against the sky. I know wonder. Now the little person is leaning up against the tree with their hands folded across their chest, eyes closed, and all around them are cloud shapes. I can taste and smell and touch and hear and see what is all around me. I use my senses. I can feel my breath fill my whole body. I tune into me. In one of the pictures on this page, the little person has their hands out because it's begun to rain, and there are drops of rain splashing on their hands. In the other picture, we're just seeing them very restful and calm. Now the water is still. I have found my anchor and everything is all right. I don't need to worry about before or after. I am in this moment. I am peace. Now we see a long shot picture. We see that tree that was many different colors, yellow and orange and red, and now there's a little green and blue on the tree too. We see the boat the little person had described as what their thoughts were like, and it's tied to the tree, safe and sound, and the person is still resting. Now I share my peace with others. They have the bag out of seeds, and in their hand are a couple of seeds, and one of the birds has flown down to take a bite. And I hope that it is carried away to those who need it. And now the bird flies away from the person holding the bag. And I dream, we are peace. The end. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.